It's quoted many times at funerals and things like that. A lot of people like to use this. And I know I've preached from this before, and I'm sure that a lot of pastors have preached from Psalm 23 before. But it's just an astounding chapter in the Bible. All the Bible is wonderful. Please don't misunderstand that statement, but it's one that stands out. And David is, of course, it's a psalm of David. And I said this morning that David was thinking of the great blessings of the Lord, how good God been to him, where God brought him from, the providential care that God had given David. And David is thinking on these things, thinking on these thoughts, and he talks about his cup running over. We dealt with that this morning. But we'll start reading verse number 1 and read down verse number 6. And I'll try to share some thoughts with you. I'll try my best not to be as long-winded as I was this morning. Amen. But no guarantees in that. The Lord is my shepherd. Verse number 1, Psalm 23. The Lord, capital L-O-R-D, is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the privilege You've given us tonight. Lord, to be back in Your house, thank You for the blessings of this day. Lord, thank You for the service we had this morning. Thank You for the message, Lord, You gave this morning. Father, we're dealing with the cup and Lord, how our cup should be running over as David's was and as he's reminiscing and thinking over the greatness, Lord, of our Father, our Lord, that's been so good to us, providentially provided, protected, and Lord, guarded and guided. And Lord, thank You so much for the provisions You've given us. And Lord, as David's cup was overflowing, so should our cup be overflowing. Lord, tonight I pray that You illuminate my mind, guard my lips, and help me, Lord, to say what's needful, necessary in this hour. And Lord, may surely goodness and mercy should follow us all the days of our life. And I pray, God, that You'd help us to understand the meaning of that. And Lord, I pray that You bless now everything that's said. Have Your will and way, all that's said and done. In Jesus' loving name we pray and ask these things. Amen and amen. We begin looking again at Psalms 23 being one of the shortest chapters in all the Bible, but it's also one of the most wonderful messages that's given in all the Bible. It's a wonderful message, and the interesting structure there gives evidence that it is divinely inspired. Psalms 23 is one of the first learned Sunday school that children learn. It's the last requested by those that are they're leaving this world and going to the next, or dying Christians. It's usually their last request to read the 23rd Psalm. And I don't really know why people request that and why they do it so much at funerals, but they do. And I guess it's because of reminiscing over the greatness of the Lord and the things that the Lord's done. But anyway, Psalms 23 was written by David, and it's a shepherd's theme, no doubt, that came from David's own experiences as a shepherd boy. We talked about that this morning. But the message is far greater than anything David or any other man could ever create. The message itself, look with me if you would, the shepherd in Psalms 23 is none other, of course, we know as the Lord Jesus Christ. He spoke as himself as the shepherd in John chapter 10, verse 14. I'm the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and have known of mine. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 32, chapter 26, verse 31, he called himself the good shepherd, dying for his sheep. Also, we say that the Apostle Paul spoke of him as the great shepherd guiding his sheep in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. Peter also spoke of him as the chief shepherd rewarding his sheep, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. But David in verse 1 of Psalms 23 refers to him as my shepherd. The Lord, my shepherd, is to be understood as none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I said this morning, I'll say again, I'm with David. I can gladly say tonight that the Lord, Jehovah God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is my shepherd. Amen? And I'm thankful for that tonight, that He's my shepherd. I don't know what I'd do without His guidance. I don't know what I'd do without His protection. Amen? I'm thankful tonight that I'm not alone. Amen? And we all ought to be thankful tonight that we can say with certainty, with surety, that the Lord is our shepherd. The Psalms, 23rd Psalm is probably the greatest testimony to the believer's security to be found in all the Bible. This theme of security is woven throughout the very structure of the Psalm. There are six verses in the chapter, and the number six is usually associated with human weakness and incompleteness. What is remarkable in the arrangement of these verses is the number 12. The number 12 is usually associated with God's provision for mankind and meeting the spiritual needs of His people. There are 12 references to the Lord in all six verses. There are 17 references in the psalm to the believer himself. The number 17 is usually connected with the doctrine of assurance and security in Christ. For example, there are 17 categories of opposition to the Christian, to the believer, in Romans chapter 8, verse 35 through 39. We can never, as the Scripture says, those 17 things, 17 categories, can never separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The number 17 is first mentioned in Genesis chapter 7 and 8, where the flood came on the 17th day of the month and rested on the 17th day of the month. Amen. So the significance in numbers. These mathematical features are interesting and prove the divine origin of the Psalm's structure. But it is the message itself that brings the blessing and assurance of salvation and security to the heart of every believer. In the last five verses of the psalm, we find two great needs that all men have, but felt mostly by the believing Christian who, like lost sheep in a dangerous country, are living in a world which is at enmity with God. The believing Christian desperately needs care and direction which he himself cannot provide, just as the sheep needs a shepherd. Amen. Every one of us must understand we cannot provide what we need for ourselves spiritually, and we do need to learn to lean on the Lord. Amen. And trust in His guidance. Verse number 1 contains the comforting assurance that all these needs will be supplied. The Lord is my shepherd. He will supply all of our need. The following conclusion is, I cannot lack. Amen. When the Lord is our shepherd, I cannot lack. There's nothing that the Lord cannot supply that I need. A human shepherd may be careless at times and ineffective, but not Jehovah. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. When the Lord is our shepherd, we do not lack. Well, I'm telling you, that's exciting. That's shouting ground, believe it or not. Amen. When the Lord's our shepherd, there's nothing that we lack. And that's what David said, I shall not want. Now, this is not talking about the worldly provisions, the worldly things. It's not talking about material possessions, but it's talking about the spiritual needs in life. Amen. I shall not want guidance. I shall not be in want of things that I need spiritually speaking. I shall not be in want of the physical needs as far as food and raiment and all those things. God will provide, God will protect, and God will supply all of our need. If we have the Lord Jesus Christ, then we need nothing else. Amen. Verse number 2, we find the first need that we have is rest. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and He leadeth me beside the still waters. The lost sinner can't find rest for his own soul or find rest for his soul in his own way, nor can he provide for his own spiritual needs. The lost man has no way of providing those things for himself. It's only when we place our trust in the Lord that this burden is lifted. Hebrews chapter 4, the Bible says in verse 9 and 10, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Thank God for rest. Amen. Rest for the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. The phrase, maketh me to lie down, is not a forced rest, but can be understood as the Lord causes me to rest. He gives that deep, settled peace. Amen. Thank God for that deep set of peace that passes all understanding. The world can't understand it. The lost man can't understand it. But thank God, God's people can understand it. The Bible says there that He leadeth me. It also means that He gently guides me. The still waters are not stagnant waters, but have been brought to rest by the Lord's power as after the storm when the waters rest. Ever been out on the ocean or out on a pond or lake somewhere when a storm is brewing or storm is in the midst of the storm and the waves are contrary, they're rocking and reeling and the waters are so active and the white caps all across there and you can't fish, I can promise you that, can't ride a boat, all you can do is hold on when it gets that rough. But whenever the storm is over and the waters rest, it's so calm and peaceful. Amen. That's the kind of rest that the Lord gives His children. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord for that. Isaiah 30 verse 15, for thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. The Lord's in control of every situation, and our peace is simply to be where He is. Peter said when he stepped out of the boat, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me to come unto Thee. Amen. To be where He's at and would have peace for our soul. There's rest. Notice David said, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures and He leadeth me beside the still waters. He gives me rest. I'm glad I can lay my head down at night, amen, and be at peace. Amen. There's peace. Peace in my heart, peace in my soul, a deep settled peace. I know if I don't wake up, I know where I'm going to be. Amen. I know if my wife don't wake up, I know where she's going to be. I know my children, if they don't wake up, amen, I know there's a deep set of peace down in my soul that God's took care of those things and they've accepted Christ as their Savior. Amen. And it gives us peace. And I'm concerned about my grandbabies right now. I know if they don't wake up, I know where they'll be at. But if they stay in this world and if they live long enough, amen, they'll come to that age of accountability. And my soul, my prayer is that they'll give their heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ and live for Him. Amen. They also can know that deep, settled peace. That's why it's vitally important for this preacher, this granddaddy, amen, this daddy, this pastor, to preach the Word of God, to preach it straight, preach it strong, so they too can know what it means to have that deep, settled peace. And they can know what it means to lie down beside the still waters and God give them peace in their soul. Verse number 3, the Bible says, He restoreth my soul and leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He restoreth my soul literally means He bringeth back to life. Rest and peace are the best medicines that you and I can ever have. You get a cold, you get sick, the first thing the doctor tells you is get plenty of rest. The older I get, the more I realize I need rest. I find myself many nights having a hard week, a long week, working late hours. I find myself with my eyes are burning and listen, I'm just so, just literally feel just plumb numb because I am so tired and I find that I can't think straight, I can't function. Sometimes I get sick on my stomach, I can't eat like I should. And sometimes I do eat and I get sick because I'm just so tired. These bodies need rest. And I'm finding the older I get, the more I like to have some rest. Amen. On Sundays after I preached this morning, the way that the Lord allowed me to preach, I went home and I was tired and I was looking forward to just a little nap. I needed some rest. Here we find that David said, He restoreth my soul, means it bringeth back to life, and He does that through rest and peace. Proverbs 3, 5, and 8, the Bible says, Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, depart from evil, and it shall be, watch this now, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. The greatest need is to know the will of God for our life. In verse number 2, the Lord gently guides, but here in verse number 3, He forcibly guides us. Amen. He forcibly guides us, makes us rest. If we stray out of His will, He will constrain us back into the paths of righteousness. He will not. He's the good shepherd. Remember that? The shepherd will go after the sheep and bring him back into the fold. That's the way the Lord does us. In Psalms 37, verse 23 and 24, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with His hand. All of this is for our good. The shepherd will go after the sheep and he maketh to lie down. He makes us rest and think about the direction that we're going so we won't go astray. I'm so thankful that the Lord goes after his own. Amen. Keeps us on the paths of righteousness. And the scripture said, David said, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And that's the reason why he does it, because he don't want us, his children, being a reproach to the name of the Lord. Amen. We should want that ourselves, not to be a reproach. Some people don't even give it a thought. They don't think of their actions. They just act and they do. And they are a reproach to the church and to the name of the Lord. Have to be careful with things like that. David said, he leadeth me. He guideth me. Amen. Leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Then verse number 4. I'm trying to hurry. I know it's already 7 o'clock and I'm trying to hurry. Just bear with me. Verse number 4. If we're in his will, we need not fear man nor the devil. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The word evil in this verse can refer to evil men, evil occurrences, or either the dangers of any kind. Even the shadow of death or the nearness of death can cause no fears in the believer. God can deliver us from death or through death, depending on his will. We are winners either way. The songwriter said, wrote the song, says, a loved one knew he'd reached the end of his journey, but he'd been holding to God's hand a long time. As I knelt beside his bed, my heart was thrilled at what he said. If I go or if I stay, victory is mine. I'm a winner either way, if I go or if I stay. For I'll still have my Jesus each passing day. I'll have my healing here below, or life forever if I go. Oh, praise the Lord, I'm a winner either way. Amen. So fear has no grip on the believer. None of us really know about tomorrow. We must prepare to go to heaven any day. But while we're here, let's trust the Lord. He'll lead us safe to our reward. And by his grace, we'll be a winner either way. Amen. What a blessing. Boy, the songwriter knew what they was writing when they penned those words, didn't they? We'll be a winner either way. So fear has no place in the heart of a believer. I will fear no evil. I'm not afraid of death. Amen. You pull your gun out and aim it at my head and want to shoot me. Listen, I try to encourage you not to do that right now. Amen. But I'm not scared of death. Listen, I know people, we've had people sit on their church pews that were literally scared to die. They said, preacher, I'm scared of death. And I can't comprehend that except for the fact they truly do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. I tried to help them. I tried to instruct them on what the Bible says. Are you sure that you have asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior? Are you sure that you know him on a personal level, on a personal basis? How in this world, can we be scared of the next world if we know what's waiting for us on the other side? Amen. Listen, I can't comprehend that. I hope I never do. Amen. But there's some that's come to me and said, preacher, I'm literally scared to die. Laying on the hospital beds, and they tell others, and the others would call me and say, preacher, they're sick and they're dying and they're literally scared. They said they're scared to die. So there's a problem there, amen. For the Bible says, David said, I'll fear no evil. I'm not afraid of death. I'm not afraid of dying. Amen. If death comes, I'm a winner either way. Amen. If I stay here, I'm a winner because I got the Lord on my side. He guards and guides, protects, and takes care of us. Amen. Somebody help me right there. He takes care of us if we stay here. But if we go, we're a winner because we're on the other side. We're out of all this sickness, out of all this sorrow, out of all these troubles. And on the other side, hallelujah, there's the Lord and the glories of heaven. Amen. My soul. Someone made the statement the other week, I think it was Jacob, said that's talking about his dad. He said, I wouldn't ask him to come back for nothing. And I said, Jacob, if your dad had a choice, he wouldn't come back. Amen. Being on the other side, I don't think they can see us. Let me just go on record and say that. Y'all can argue about this all you want to. I don't think the deceased that goes to heaven, that goes from the presence here, absent from the body to be present with the Lord, I don't think they can see us. I say that because we're living in a wicked and godly world, a world full of sin and wickedness. I don't think the Lord allows them to see that because they're in the splendors of glory. Amen. They're in a place that's far better, that's no sorrow, no sickness, no weeping, no crying. I don't think they can see where we're at and know what's going on. I know a lot of people would argue with that. A lot of people think their loved ones are looking down on them and they're watching over them and they're trying to pray for them. I don't believe that. I truly do not believe that. That's my belief. If you want to argue about it, we can. I'll give you chapter and verse, and you give me chapter and verse, and we'll talk about it. But I don't believe they can look down and see us. I don't believe that the people in heaven is praying for us here on this earth. The Bible says there is so great a cloud of witnesses, and that crowd of witnesses, a cloud of witnesses that sees us as those folks that are around us in the day we're living in. They see us, and they witness how we live our life for the Lord. And there's also angels that God gives to watch over us and protect us. The angels see us. The angels know. Amen. And I believe that they are interceding on our behalf. And they protect. And God uses them to guard and to guide and protect us. Amen. I don't believe that those that are saved humans that went to heaven, I don't believe they pray for us. I don't believe they see us. Why did I say all that? I don't know. It just came out and it's part of the message, I reckon. But God wanted me to say it. Hey, listen, but I'm not fear of death. I don't fear dying. And I can't comprehend for the life of me those that are scared, who say that they're saved, but yet they're scared to die. Listen, we're a winner either way, where we go, whether we stay. Amen. It's just that simple. To be on the Lord's side, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Whether I'm here or whether I'm there, he's with us. Amen. Whenever we die and we leave this world, we don't go, by ourselves from here to the presence of the Lord by ourselves. I believe the Lord sends angels to come and carry us home. You don't have to agree with that if you don't want to, but that's what I believe. We don't have to get into no real deep theology. That's just my belief. Now, the songwriter wrote a song about send the angels after mother and let the angels carry mother home. Mama ain't saved. It don't matter. There's an angel coming, but it might not be the one from heaven. Amen. The death angel is going to come, but it might not be the one that you want if mama's not saved. And so you can't pray somebody into heaven. I believe that's what the songwriter was trying to do. I think that's what they're trying to get across. Let me move on. I don't know why in the world I got off on all that, but I did. So there we are. Here it is. Let's move on. David said, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And I'm thankful. Thank God tonight that God is with us. Amen. Amen. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's dealing with the Word of God. The Word of God should comfort us. It shouldn't make us angry. It shouldn't make us mad. We shouldn't get mad at the pastor. We shouldn't get mad at the Word of God when it's preached. Amen. We should accept that reproof. We should accept the rebuke that's been given from the Word of God and take that as God's trying to direct our path so we'll live a life that's well pleasing to Him. Thy rod and thy staff should comfort us. I'm glad that God cares enough to correct me. The shepherd, listen, whenever the sheep keep going astray, the shepherd will cripple the sheep to keep him from running off. He'll break a leg so that sheep won't run off. He'll cripple him because, not that he's mean, but because the shepherd cares. He's guarding and guiding, keeping him from running away. I got to move on. Thy rod and thy staff are to force us back or pull us back as the need may arise into the right tracks. This may seem at first a strange way of bringing comfort until we realize that the word comfort means to repent. God's chastening, God's correction are designed to bring us to repentance. And we have here His gracious assurance that we as His sheep will never be allowed to be comfortable outside of the will of God. Thank God He don't leave us outside there and we don't get comfortable there. He works with us and brings us back. When a sheep continue to go astray from the fold, the shepherd will break one of his legs to stop him from going astray. Verse number 5, moving on. I've got to hurry. Time's running out. Verse number 5. I feel like an auctioneer at auction. Verse number 5. Amen. Move it out. Roll on, boys. Amen. Verse number 5. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. There are enemies all around the believer in this world, whether human or demonic. We're in the month of October, and I'm telling you, everywhere you look, it's demonic. Everything that they put on the shelves, it's demonic. It's all about Halloween and all the evils, and somebody says, hey, there's nothing wrong with Halloween. There's nothing wrong with, it's just a day for the kids. What we're teaching our children is that it's okay to play with devils. It's okay to play with witches. It's okay to play with the ghosts and the goblins and all the wickedness of the world. Those things are real. That's not something to be mocked at or played with. Those things are as real as you and I are real. Demons and devils of hell, they're real. And listen, that is a day that's been set aside for the devil himself and their children. They dress up like those demons and devils and witches and all the things that the Bible preaches and teaches us against. Not let our children do those things. It's all about divination. It's all about signs and soothsaying. And all that wickedness is all wrapped up in one day. And they allow our children to dress up like that, to go in somebody's trunk, to get some candy out, which I think is a trap. Amen. Hallelujah. I agree with that. I think it's a trap. But listen, don't take your children somewhere where they pop the trunk and put a bunch of candy in there. Because one of these days, I promise you, you're going to read on the news where some child got abducted at a child activity where they're doing trunk or treat. Some kid got pushed off in the trunk and hauled away. Don't think that I'm crazy, because we live in a crazy world and you'll read about it for long. Amen. It's a trap of the devil. The devil knows what he's doing. His days are numbered, and he's doing everything he can to draw as many in as he can. And the day of Halloween is a day that we should not celebrate as born-again believers. Write that down. Preacher McMillan said at Heritage Baptist Church, October the 6th at 7:10 p.m. at night, the preacher said we should not celebrate Halloween. It is a day of devils. It is a day of wickedness. Amen. And the world doesn't see anything at all wrong with that. There are enemies all around us. The world is our enemy. They want us to give in, partake in their wickedness, do the things that they do. That's, oh, well, preacher, we don't worship Satan. We're not devil worshipers. We just go get some candy for our kids. We get candy from our kids from strangers. I'd just as soon to go to Walmart, buy my own candy, and give it to my children that I know it's good and don't have to worry about it. Amen. I don't have to dress up like no devil to get no candy. I know that there's churches that do things and they try to spiritualize it. Get the children to dress up like Bible characters. You're still participating in that evil, wicked day of Halloween. Amen. You're dressing up to be something you're not. You're posing to be something you're not. And let me say this on record tonight. There's a whole lot of Christians posing to be something they're not. Amen. Some of them wouldn't have to put on no costume. Just go as they are. Because they're already posing as something they're not. I ain't going to preach on that. I'm moving on. Amen. I don't want to get into that. Listen, there's enemies, though, all around us, both human and demonic, but the Lord provides everything that we need, all our needs right in the very presence of our enemies, and they are powerless to prevent it. One of the things that drives the world crazy is whenever a Christian stands against something they're doing. Drives them crazy. You know why it drives them crazy? Because they don't have the power to do nothing about it. Whoop, prepares a table before mine enemies. We're going to dress our kids up and go on Halloween. We're going to take them trick-or-treating. Why ain't you going to go? I don't believe in it. Tears their nerves up. Yep. Can't do nothing about it. I don't believe in that. Amen. Amen. Psalms 34, verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamped round about them that fear him and delivereth them. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, that I said all that, I want to say this. We don't provoke the devil. We don't go out and pick a fight. Amen. We don't go to the Wiccas. We don't go in there and start flapping our gums and acting a fool, trying to be big and bad. Amen. We don't play with the Ouija board. Amen. We don't do those. We don't provoke the devil. Amen. You don't go poking at that, because you'll get bit. Amen. We fear no evil. We're not worried about them and fear that they're going to hurt us, because there's nothing that can touch us that God does not allow. But we don't go out and invite trouble. You go picking a fight, you're liable to get a fight. Amen. Moving on. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. The shepherd would pour on the head of the sheep to protect it from sunstroke. He'd pour the oil on their head. Oil was used to be an aid in healing of wounds from briars and thorns. Not only would the shepherd protect his sheep, but it goes beyond measure. It's no wonder David said, my cup runneth over. We talked about that this morning, how the cup ought to be running over. Amen. It ought to be running over with, because of the joy in our hearts for the things that God has done for us. Verse number 6, I'm trying to hurry. Verse number 6, the Bible says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Not only does a believer have rest and peace, not only do they have health and guidance, not only do they have courage and comfort, they have protection and provision in Christ, but they also, they have the promise of the unfailing love throughout this life and through all of eternity. Boy, ain't nothing there to shout about at all, is there? Ain't nothing to be excited about at all whenever we say that. All the things that God has done and all throughout this life and throughout all of eternity, we have the promise of His unfailing love. God's goodness and God's mercy, they'll follow. Hallelujah. Watch this now. Exodus chapter 33, verse 19. And he, speaking of God, said, speaking to Moses, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. Moses wanted to see the glory of God. God's glory is found in God's character, not in his countenance. The devil's first attack on mankind included an attack upon the goodness of God. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 5. In spite of what man thinks, and what the devil wants us to think, God is good. Amen. Brother Arnold Worley always ends his newsletter, God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. We'll find that, in fact, God is abundant in goodness, according to Exodus chapter 34 and verse number 6. This goodness was wonderful displayed in Jesus Christ, for he hath, the Bible says, done all things well. Mark chapter 7, verse 37. The word follow is a strong word meaning chase after. Watch this now. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. That word follow, listen real close to what I'm saying. That word follow is a strong word that means chase after. In addition to leading me in verse 2 and 3, he will pursue after me. He's going to lead me and he's going to pursue after me. He's going to chase after me. That surely goodness and mercy is going to follow. Psalms 119 verse 7 through 10. Here's what the Bible says. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? It's a question. Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the othermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. Just like he did when we were lost, he pursued after us, sought us out. The songwriter said he sought me and he bought me, amen, and redeemed us by his blood. Thank God for that amazing grace. Then when life is over, the believer will dwell with the Lord and his people forever and ever. David said, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord. Amen. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's all said and done. I'll be with the Lord. What a blessing. I'll dwell with him. In the ages to come, we'll enjoy the fellowship of all the redeemed as well as the Lord himself. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus, our Lord. What a day that's going to be. Amen. With my Jesus, I shall see. He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day that'll be. Surely our cups should be running over because grace and mercy, goodness and mercy is following us. Amen. Hope it's a blessing to you tonight. The Psalm of David. A very encouraging psalm. It encourages me and hope it encourages you. The Lord put this together and penned these words to be a blessing to his children. Fear not. For he's with us. Amen. That ought to make your cup run over. Message number two, sermon number two, that should make your cup run over. Is your cup overflowing? It ought to be. Why should my cup be overflowing? I have nothing to fear. God's with me. All the days of my life, he'll be with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. And goodness is mercy. His goodness and his mercy is going to follow me. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Amen. What a Savior. Hope it's been an encouragement to you tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight for the privilege you've given us to be in your house.